Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, about on August 18, 2007, I hosted the show for the first time. And since then, the show's grown, and this would not be possible without my co-host, Barbara Moore. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Johnny.
You know, you've been a blessing to the show. You really have.
But I missed what you said in the very beginning, because the AirPods were connecting. So what did you say in the very beginning about what the
show's
about?
What I said was, I said that on August 18th, 2007, I did my first show. And I wanted to make sure that the date that I did the first show was in the description. And then since the show has grown, and it wouldn't be possible without good people like you helping me out.
Oh, well, thank you. Congratulations, by the way, on your anniversary.
Well, you know, I mean,
how many
it's
years
just
is that? How
14
many
years? Years. This is the 14th anniversary. And
you know,
it's amazing.
Yeah, pretty much doing nothing for until the last 3 years. It was kind of, you were just doing it by yourself randomly once in a while. It wasn't like an everyday thing, was it?
I think, to be honest, I think that it wasn't until you came along that it felt sort of like
a real show.
It was professional. It was a professionally relaxed environment. I'm talking like a show that's relaxed, that, like, for example, you know, whenever I call you on the phone, you know, we're talking about the show, and I really wanted to do this anniversary show because I don't get a chance to say things a whole lot. I let others speak and then I speak, and I wanted the chance to say this. I call you on the phone, and you know, I sort of imagine you in your living room. So it's a sort of a relaxed environment where we're not, you know, everything is relaxed. I mean, you're just off. I remember one time, I think it was, you asked me to FaceTime you, so I did. And then when I FaceTimed you on purpose, you were really, really, I think, pounding on stirring something with your hand. You were doing it really intensely. And you did it on purpose so that I would see it. And it was just meant to be sort of relaxed, you know, just sort of, I know you don't remember it, but that's just sort of what you do. You've always sort of been relaxed and casual. And that's one of the things I like about you. I never really felt like threatened, you know, and actually the only times that you ever get mad is when you end it with laughter. I don't know if anybody's ever brought that up to you before, but you do that.
I don't know. Ask Priscilla.
What?
We're on the air. Say, what was that, Johnny?
What was that, Jonathan?
Okay. Here's what your mother does. She will get, like, upset, and then she'll rant and rave, and then she'll end it with laughter.
Right.
She'll go rambling on, and then, like, there's a pause, and then she'll be like, ah!
She doesn't even, I guess.
Probably because it's such a silly matter that she's upset about.
Well, I know to do that. I know to wait for the laugh. I'm thinking, okay, she's going to laugh. Okay.
Can I say something? All right. I think that's exclusively for you, Johnny, because I don't do that to Priscilla. She would have remembered. I don't. It's just for you, special for you. Probably
right.
Because if I'm ranting and raving and then you start shaking and almost having a heart attack, then I feel bad and then I laugh and everything's fine again.
Well, I have to let.
Maybe.
I guess what it is the ranting and the raving is that I have to let you speak your mind. Otherwise, it wouldn't be listening. I wouldn't be listening to you if I said, I mean, you know, I've always wanted you to be able to have the courage to speak. Like, if you ever feel like you're overwhelmed with something, say it. If you ever feel like you're you know, you're being pushed around, say it. If you ever feel like this is too hard,
Johnny,
for you.
Johnny, this is not a training call. I have been working with you for 2 years and 4 months. I do say it.
Right.
I do say it. I do say what's on my mind. And I pretty much, I don't know, I've done it in a nice way since the start. But when you had another person on, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that co-host along with you. And it was sad when the change happened. And then all of a sudden it was like we didn't even know who this person was anymore. It was so weird.
I know.
But I never
had
to say anything. And you figured that out yourself. And I just, you know, held my tongue on that one because, hey, I loved this job and I didn't want anything to jeopardize it. But you figured
right.
it out on your own and did it all on your own and then told me about it afterwards. Like, they're gone. And that was nice because you stood up for me because it was something to do with them wanting me out of the picture. And I never, ever wanted them out of the picture. I just thought it was always going to be the three of us. I really did.
It was obvious what they were doing. I mean, they were, because what they were doing was basically asking to have certain conditions be laid down, where it was obvious that that was basically, the conditions were basically, okay, Barbara, you leave. You know, that's really what it was. I mean, if you listen to the conditions, and not only that, you know, I love it when you're off somewhere talking to someone and then you mention the show, because that's what I want you to be able to do, because you have the freedom to do it. You have, I love your networking skills. Like,
I say copy and paste my formula, and you use my formula to get the guests, and it works. It's been working famously, and therefore I don't have to make all the phone calls. And I like how you make the phone calls. I love that.
Right. I know. It was just, and I like the people that you bring to the show, and I like the fact that you taught me a lot about Playboy. One of the things that you taught me is, the word is nude, not naked. And once a playmate, always a playmate. And it's not porn. It's been legally proven to not be porn. And, you know, that's you taught me those things. So, you know, we had a model on the show. She wasn't a playmate, but her name is Heather Parisot. Was her name, and she kind of reminded me a little bit of Angie Everhart. I don't know if Angie Everhart was a playmate, but you know who she is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've worked with her before, but she's not a playmate, but yes.
You know, just very, you know, just something, well, red hair is very beautiful, and
it's great. She's great.
Yeah. Well, Heather came on, and she gave tips on how to be on Playboy. And this was before you were around. But the point I'm trying to get at here is I have always made it a point to show respect to playmates or people that were in Playboy.
Angie Everhart? Wait, no. Okay. You mentioned a model's name. Well, I did not know her. And then you mentioned
what
Angie
I meant to
Everhart,
say was
and I
this.
Know her. And then so which one said it? And why are there two mentioned? I'm confused.
I'm sorry. That's okay. Heather Parisot was a model that we had on, and she talked about Playboy and how to get in Playboy. She had some tips because she was in Playboy. She was in Playboy. She wasn't a playmate, but she was in Playboy. And I compared her to Angie Everhart, even though I never interviewed Angie Everhart. Yeah, I guess there was a little bit of Angie Everhart because they were both from Ohio. They both rode horses and everything. And what happened was that she said, now, you know, it's, and I said, well, you know, so that I've always wanted to show respect for, because I had friends who were playmates and I didn't want that to be disrespected. So like, for example, one time, I think it was Elkie, our friend Elkie, who I had a wonderful conversation last night with, called in and she introduced herself as, Aya Melky Jensen Playboy Playmate, and she named the year. And I remember that the person that was on the show was kind of laughing about it, and I thought, well, wait a minute, why is that funny? I mean, she can interview herself however she wants. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So you heard them laughing or just snickering. You heard the snickering?
Yeah, sort of. Well, she basically got snickered at because, and I didn't like that at all. I mean, I thought, you know, she should be able to, I have to respect the Playboy. I have to. I mean, if I don't, what kind of respect should I expect from you if I don't respect your friends? You know, and that's something that, you know, you get. You get someone, you get their friends. And that's what I like about you. I mean, you know, you've always been, one of the things I love is I love your agent. When I got to meet your agent, I liked the guy. What's
Kurt,
his name again?
Kurt
Jeff
Clement.
Oh yeah,
I
Kurt Clement.
Kurt Clement.
No, he was he had the house that you fell down the stairs with, right?
Yes, in Mexico.
Okay. I mean, it's just sort of, it's a relaxed, I mean, I like the fact that the people you bring on are interesting to talk to. It's exciting whenever I imagine you at a party because I know that you have the ability to talk. I don't know if, like, because I know that you had a job that you went to, if you don't mind me bringing this up, about a few days ago. Do you mind me bringing that up? Or?
No, I do not. No, I mean that it was great, that it went well, that it was golf in my first tournament. That was
fantastic. The only reason I bring that up is that I thought maybe you might want to talk about that here on the air, about how you meet people and talk to people. But it's up to you.
Yes. Well, you finish with some of your points first, because it's not about me and my job. It's about the show.
Yeah, well, I guess the point I'm trying to get at is that you network. You're very good at it. So, I mean, it's like I'm able to kind of live through your eyes a little bit. Like when I imagine, well, I was at this golf tournament and there was this other person there and I'm thinking, well, that's great. Oh, great. She's talking to people. Oh, great. You know, and I just think about all your networking skills and about how you actually got to play golf in a tournament, you know, and you were, I mean, you know, it was an interesting experience. That was just, if you want to talk about that, what was it like?
About the recent one or all of the promotional events that I've worked at? Or are you wanting to know what this last one?
The recent one?
Okay, yeah. Well, the recent one wasn't just about me going for my personality and getting paid to mingle and socialize and make people laugh and get comfortable, and that is a great job. This one entails a lot more, which was golf, because I wasn't just there, you know, looking pretty and driving the golf cart around in a miniskirt. I was actually hired to golf, and I had to know how to golf. So I never was in a golf tournament in my life, and of course I said, yes, I know how to play golf, because I played it one time 15 years ago, and then I had some anxiety about it because I knew it was important to be able to play, and all my friends were saying, oh, you're a natural athlete, you're going to do fine, but I did take a golf lesson, and literally after that 1 hour, the day before I took off to Chicago, I actually felt confident about my golf game. I was so shocked that I felt that much confidence. And I went and, oh, my gosh, really well. But I kept thinking of, in my mind, playing it back over and over, of hitting that ball really well. So I hit it really well. I just wanted to make sure the first ball was hit well. And then once I did that, then everybody could take a deep breath. And I did. But, you know, throughout 18 holes, that's a lot of golf playing. And my team was of four people. It was a scramble for charity, the Walgreens. golf charity event. It was just gorgeous. The golf, it was an old golf course from 1953, beautiful five-star place. The people were amazing. And I hit one, a drive, 160 yards. And they were all, whoa, they were like that. They go, what, is that good for a beginner? And they said, no, that's good for anybody. So I felt really great, and they played a couple of my balls. And on my team, if people know what a scramble is, you take the best hit closest to the hole, and then you guys all play from there. And so two times, mine was the closest. And get this, on my team was a PGA golf pro, a woman who lived on the golf course. She was amazing. And another man that was highly achieved in golf. And so that, I held my own. That was pretty good, wouldn't you say? And guess who did call that and saw that in a reading? Guess who?
Dale Shear.
That's right. And she didn't even know what I was going to do. And she said, she pulled cards. She does her readings and she uses cards. And she pulled this person on a horse where you're up high and it means that you're going to do exceptionally well and everybody's going to say, wow. I can't wait to tell her that she nailed it on the head with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I believe her when she says things like that. And I actually thought of it many times in my mind. And the power of positive thinking, it works. It really works.
And just so you know, I have tallied up the number of shows that you've done. 405 shows.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Feels like
I did a... What?
I don't know. I was just thinking it was like 600, but that's a lot.
Well,
a lot
yeah,
of shows.
What I did was I tallied, I wrote a total, and then I did it since the last total. So you've been... It's 400 shows, yeah. And,
okay. Well, that's cool. That's a lot of experience, and
mm-hmm.
that experience has helped me in a lot of different areas in my life. Like you said, you want people to be able to talk. I already could talk, but I can talk a little better now because of the experience. You learn how to not interrupt people. You learn how to be a better listener, to be a better interviewer, and you just seem to get more confidence with talking because, believe it or not, I had an issue before I became a Playboy Playmate, before I was modeling and doing a lot of work, because Playboy lifts your self-esteem up so high because they just say, you're not just looks, you're everything. And
I know.
And they hire you based on it, and I became their spokesmodel, foreign, wide, and traveled the world with them, and they hired me over and over and over again, which made me a lot of money and also made me feel very good and confident. But I've even gotten better since doing this radio show, and I literally never thought I would be doing a radio show. I never imagined myself doing a radio show.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, you're not just doing a radio show. I mean, like, since the community has gotten better, and I will say this, is that, you know, Life After Happiness has sort of become more of a community than just a show. You started doing your own show as well, right? And we've been doing more, and you're gonna be getting your own channel soon. So, you know, you've got a lot to look forward to.
Yes. Well, I say it like I already do have my own channel, because I do, but I want to get 6 really great shows up there where it's streamed live, where everybody can see me and whomever I'm on the show interviewing. Plus, guests can be seen too, so it's really exciting. And thank you, Johnny, for producing it for me. And we've had 2 really good shows on Breaking Away with Barbara so far. One with Victoria Valentino, a Playmate who was sexually abused and raped by Bill Cosby, and another one with a top producer of the not a channel, but a whole network, TV network, the Heartland and Joel Wertman. And so those are two really good ones already. And I have so many ideas and a guest lineup that I want to keep a surprise for everybody. But those shows will be exclusively on my Roku TV channel. So that's
exciting. I know that right now we don't have the live technology for, well, at least I can't afford the live technology for the Roku, but I mean, that's probably going to be down the road when the technology improves. And what I'm so happy about is that I have looked into other things. Like I've looked into, there's some people, what they do is they put live broadcasts on websites, you know. That's one thing that people are doing. And you know, I think what I like about it is that I feel like the show is more of a community than a show. Am I right about that?
Okay. Repeat it. What do you mean, like a community? I always have to have you explain this, the community thing.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, like we'll be taking calls and like with Dale and, you know, then, you know, oh, well, I know who this person is, you know, and I'll put him through and it'll be a regular caller, you know.
Yes, understand? And then they're part of our community. Okay, great. But it's a little cheesy for me. I don't really say that. I said that in the beginning when I was the co-host because that's what you guys were doing. It's changed quite a bit. It was all about community and support groups and helping and, psychologists and therapists and psychics. It became so much more when I came along because we have Playboy Playmates on and we have series now. We have the Miss December Diaries. I think we've had 25 Playmate interviews, which are interesting. And also we have had other series and it's not so much about, oh, we're here as your guides in your spiritual quest or spirituality, you know. It's not like that, and we changed it because it's a variety show with celebrities and high-profile people. All of that is what other people don't have. So we don't even have to say we will inspire you because it's a done deal. Just listen and you're going to be inspired because these people are amazing that we have on.
I know. And that's funny because like I play The Sims and I was talking to your daughter about this the other day. And it's so funny because I mean like you're all 25 of and some of the playmates that weren't in the series are all living in the same house. And so it's really weird when I look at when I play The Sims and I'm thinking what you do is you have, I think the way I made you is I gave you like a nice hat. You were wearing this hat. And I think you, what?
I did not say anything.
What? No, I dressed you up in like a nice hat is what I did. And then when I made Priscilla on it, it was so funny because she has like, and then I put, and like what will happen is that you see them rolling around the house and then you see Coco, you know, on the game because that's Elkie's dog. And.
Well, that's fun for you. I don't know if everybody knows what that is. I've never even heard of The Sims, but I only would know.
I won't tell you.
But if you're in the game world, you make characters out of every Playmate guest that we have on. Then you go and you create a character with their likeness. And I think that's fun for you. So that's cool.
Right. I mean, it just helps me, you know, relax. And what's so funny is that, I mean, some of them even imitate their real lives. Like, for example, like Elkie will actually walk up to a punching bag and kick it and punch it. And, you know, so it's all working
well,
wonderfully.
Okay. If anybody does Sims, go and check it out.
But you're right. Not a lot of people, not everybody knows about it. But what I meant to say is that I just sort of, I always got to think about all the stuff that we do. And, you know, I love the way you treat and you are with all of your friends. I like that. I mean, your friends are always interesting to talk to and sweet, you know. And, I mean, I've told you, I know you're sick of the something about Mary analogy, but you get it, right?
Yeah, you think that I am like the character in the movie, something about Mary, because she's so nice to everybody, and a lot of people think that attractive people, such as models, are not like that. But there's many, there are many very nice, attractive models out there that are super nice. And you found that out, though, having all these playmates on, didn't you, Johnny?
Well, I had, before I met you, I had met some playmates that were nice. And so I knew that before you were there. But what I'm saying is that it just that I guess the whole point is that sometimes somebody can be nice in a very unique, special way. Like, you know, like, for example, I think the whole point, the thing I like about the playmates is that you're all drop-dead gorgeous, but you're different. Your personalities come out sort of like, you know, like when I had Terry Lynn Doss on, I compared her to Farrah Fawcett. It was because of the fact that I saw a lot of Farrah Fawcett in her. She just had this sort of, and she didn't understand, but she laughed about it. But see, like when I think of like Elke Jensen, I think of somebody that will be in a James Bond film. Then, you know, what I'm trying to say is that because somebody is drop-dead gorgeous, because somebody is gorgeous, doesn't mean that they're all going to be alike. Some of them have a lot of differences. Like not every playmate is a ballroom champion, ballroom dance champion, you know.
And now a new golfer.
No new golfer.
Player. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So this is my new sport. I love it. Yeah, I mean, everybody's different, but everybody's kind of the same. So I get it, and it's so cool. But you knew a couple of playmates before I even came along, which is kind of amazing, because actually most people haven't even met one.
Well, you know, it was I've had some pretty good experiences. I mean, you know, there was Carrie Kendall, you know, like, so I nicknamed her the Tarot Bunny because she does tarot cards. Then there was, but you know, it's like, then there's ones that I really wish I could meet, like, Julie McCullough, you know, I wish I could meet her. But one of the things that I noticed is that you're not all the same, which is great. I mean, you know, some of you like, for example, if one playmate rides horses, I imagine her as a cowgirl, okay? But then another one may want to ride bicycles, which might ride her as a biker chick. But then another one may, you know.
But yeah, a lot of times they're playing the character in the centerfold, and they haven't done anything that is their theme, which is kind of funny. But it's cool when their theme matches what they really do, which that happens a lot, too. So it's just fun having your own centerfold in Playboy magazine. Just there's no other person that can ever have that month and year. And so it is special, and only 12 a year. And a lot of people want to be, a lot of women want to be a Playboy.
Actually, it's
playmate.
Only
according
four
to my
now.
Dad, every single,
but, yeah.
According to my dad, every single woman secretly would love to be a Playboy playmate. Thought of as, you know, beautiful, special women in the world. That's hard for me to say because it's weird because I'm like, don't like to talk about myself like that. But that's what he said. And, you know, he was really proud of me. So I like that I had a dad like that.
I know. I mean, it's I think you know, it's not always an accepting thing by parents. Am I right about that?
Well, of course, you've been on the interview, haven't you? Of course. But
no,
I don't
I
want
have.
To go off on Playboy so much. Yes, yes, of course they're different because they're different people. How could you think that a Playboy Playmate is the same as every other Playboy Playmate?
No, I never said
people.
That.
They're people.
Yeah, I just said
well,
that. I
know,
just
but
was,
it always goes back to the Playboy topic on the show. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, oh, hey, it's your show. If you want to talk about Playboy, go for it.
Well, no, but what I was going to say is that, I mean, they're different. And that's one of the things I like. I mean, it was sort of like some of them are, you know, you see them in airplanes, you know. Some of them, you see them jump out of airplanes, you know.
That, I don't think so. I've never seen that. Actually, I have never seen that.
Well, we did have Nicole Whitehead, who was a licensed pilot.
She never jumped out of an airplane. She never jumped
no,
out.
No, but she has a pilot's license.
Yes.
So it was.
It's fine. I mean, I really admire her for her hard work. But it's just a matter of going to do it. Flying an airplane, you can't tell me that that is, like, so special because I grew up flying and my dad's a pilot and if you want to be one, go do it. It's just as simple as that. It's something you can learn. I don't know any of them that have done their centerfold or any of them that did it on the side jumping out of a plane. Who are they?
I'm not talking about.
I do. Nikki Shearing, she jumped out of a plane. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but it
okay.
wasn't. It wasn't about her centerfold scene at all. It was something she did afterwards with Brooke Burke for, like, Travel on Eve or something like
that.
I
wasn't even talking about posing and jumping out of a plane at the same time. No, I was just saying that some of them may have done things like, you know, jumping out of an airplane, you know, on the side is what I meant.
Sure. Okay.
But, I mean,
I did play polo on a horse for 3 years, and I learned how to play tournament polo, and you don't think of me as a horsewoman or a cowgirl.
I think what it is that, I mean, you have a this is what it is. I think with you, it's just really wholesome and really beautiful and sweet girl next door. I know it's cliche.
Okay, I have a question. Okay, I did the soda fountain jerk theme in my centerfold in the 50s with that
right.
kind of theme. Do you think of me as a waitress?
I think of you as the kind of that does an attractive woman that would look good that I might run into in a restaurant, in a nice restaurant. I do sort of see you like that. I mean, in the sense that you have a sort of like, you know, you come into a diner or something and then, you know, like I can see sometimes when I'm here, I've been going for walks and I'll go into a place like Ben and Jerry's and I'll think about you because I sort of associate you to sort of that there's a wholesomeness, if that makes sense. So I sort of associate
that. Yeah, but
that.
You hadn't even seen my centerfold for a long time when I was working on Life After Happiness. You hadn't even seen it. You didn't even know what my centerfold was, Johnny.
Okay. But after I thought of you in sort of this. I mean, I like the association of you in a diner. I think that those little 50s diner, that actually makes sense considering – well, you have a certain closeness to your family, and there's something very wholesome thing that you do, you know, that you let out, if that
you
makes
mean
sense.
The girl next door?
Yes. But I know all Playmates try to be that. But,
they don't try. They're just themselves. Seth tried to choose the girl next door. That's what he likes to choose. So
right.
You're right. You hit the nail on the head. Now tell me, Johnny, what do you like most about doing the podcast every day?
I have thought about it, and I would have to say it's a form of stress reduction and a form of therapy, because you have to when I was in college, I didn't realize I did this, but I only talked about one subject, boxing, and I didn't like it. In retrospect, I didn't like it. I didn't realize I was bugging people by doing it. And I didn't realize I was always asking the same questions and saying the same things. And so I decided that when I did a podcast, I wanted to try to fix that. So my parents, they would always say, try listening to some things that other people are interested in, not just yours. Listen to other, and I sort of get it now. Like, for instance, that's why you get to, when you talk about a subject like today, there was a woman that I talked to who was in an abusive marriage. And I immediately thought of it from the show standpoint. You know, I am not really an expert about abusive marriages or abusive relationships, but you have always... You have created a platform for the show to be able to talk about those things, if that makes sense. And, so it's just sort of what happened was that she did a TikTok where everyone asked her why her hair was in bangs. And she said that her hair was in bangs because she wanted to cover up a bruise she got from an abusive marriage.
Who did?
This lady that I talked to on TikTok.
No,
she was not a playmate. She was a lady who was in an abusive marriage, and her hair was in bangs because she wanted to cover up a bruise she got. And I immediately thought, I'm not going to do this on the air, but I'm just saying she was somebody that I thought might be interesting to talk to. And, she sounded like somebody that you might want to talk to, I was just thinking out loud, but you get the point about, this is why I like doing the show, because you asked me that question, is I get experience talking about other things that I may not be interested in, And it's fun to share it more than it is to just hawk it all myself,
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel the show has been therapeutic for you?
Yeah. One thing I think that stands out the most is that it gave me a schedule, because being a model for almost 30 years, I just never have a boss. I run my own show, and I do my day however I feel. And sometimes you are not such a good boss because you're not so strict on yourself. So having something that I did every single day was a good way to have a schedule. So I would, in my mind, think I have to get everything done before 4:45. And it would make me get so much more done. And because human beings like to have a schedule. They do. It's something we do crave. And it gave me that, and it was really interesting. That was something that stands out in my mind.
What I like is how we can be there for each other. Like, I've there have been times, and I'm not going to mention, like, specifics, but where you were really, 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 really stressed out. And it got me thinking, and I was like, okay, recently you were really, really, really stressed out. And I got to thinking, I'm like, okay, what's wrong, is there something I can do? She doesn't have to be stressed, okay. And then, we talked it over, if you remember, and, I basically found that I won't say what it is, you know, because I don't think people should hear the specifics. But I did something. You were really worried about something, and I kind of relieved. I said, okay, let's, you know, we don't have to worry about that right now, if you get my drift, right?
I don't remember what you're referring to, but okay, that, yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about personal stuff on the air. You know, I think that this stuff is best left off the air, you know. But what I'm going to say is, what?
Gee, thanks, I said. That's nice of you. Because it's
well,
okay
you understand. Yeah, it's just live. Yeah. I know, I don't want people hearing about personal stuff, but I mean, I like
the
fact
that... I don't even remember what it is, so obviously it wasn't, you know, that big of a deal. I mean, now you're going to get everybody thinking that I had a problem.
No, okay, no. She doesn't, no, it just means that we were communicating. That's all that happened. And we were communicating, okay. And we were there for each other. That's really the gist of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm glad you enjoyed that, because it makes a person feel like, oh, you know, I'm there for somebody. I'm giving my goodness out to them.
Right.
I'm a really good friend. And, of course, it's a very good feeling. And people who do nothing, what if I said, no, I didn't want to be the co-host? I would have missed out on a lot of great moments, meeting great people. Experience, like we said, friendship with you, and building something together. So, yeah, I think the moral of that story is to just to tell the listeners, go out. Don't have a fear. Just go for it, because you only live once. And when you're old,
and always try
like
to,
Richard's age, 93, you might just regret.
Yeah. And also... My philosophy with the show has always been not to take the people who are helping you out for granted, like you, you know, who I think that if I can, you know, even though I mess up with what I say, it's important that I learn. And I think I do learn. I just I want you to know that I try to communicate with you. You understand what I'm saying?
You do learn. You do learn, and you are getting really good.
Yeah. In a lot
and
of ways,
you don't have
been
all the experience with people. You don't have a bunch of social experience, and you haven't been hired on multiple events to, you know, get the kinks out and just feel comfortable with it. So your experience is basically the show, and I've seen a lot of growth with you, and I have seen you stay really upbeat for a long time, long periods of time, and you don't get down, because it's hard to get down when you're doing a show every day and you have to be on, because you can't pretend, and you are doing that. I love seeing that you're not getting down.
Yeah, I know. And actually, one of the things I love about your show is I don't want to embarrass her, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I love how you have brought your daughter on a few times, Priscilla.
Why would that embarrass me? Oh, you
embarrass her. Embarrass
She's
her.
She's not sitting here anymore. She's been long gone. She was here for like 30 seconds.
Oh, but I'm just saying it's fun to have her on. I think that one of the reasons you like the show so much is that there's a lot of kindred interests that the two of you share in regards to the show. Am I right?
Well, yes, and I see the respect that she has for me, because when she knows I'm on the show, she's very quiet and respectful, because it's pretty, you know, it can be loud around the house, and she knows when I'm live to be quiet, and other people I cannot say the same thing for, like friends, a few friends. They didn't care if I had to do the show. I mean, I was doing it every day. We literally did it 7 days a week my first year. We really did. I think people don't believe that, but we did. And so I would sometimes have to be out and about and living my life at that time, 5 o'clock. So I would say, I have to do my show. I'm going to go find a quiet place. And I could see that they would roll their eyes and they would have bad energy, and it took time away from them. And they didn't like it, and I didn't care, but I saw that they didn't like it, but my daughter has always been of my time and what I needed to do for the show. She's never complained, and how mature is that?
That's mature. I mean, your daughter, I will say this about your daughter's generation. I mean, my generation, you know, there was a lot of cutting up. It seems that with your daughter's generation, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of cutting up. It seems like there's more of a kind of a maturity, it seemed. Am I right?
Is that meaning like cutting up meaning joking about something?
Well, what I'm trying to say is...
What's cutting up mean to you? I'm just asking you, what's cutting up mean?
Cutting up means misbehaving. Cutting up means
being cool
and sort of like being a class clown. That's cutting up. I'm talking, yeah, and I don't really see that with your daughter. I see a lot of maturity.
Mm-hmm. No, they do. She cuts up. She cuts up in class.
Oh, she does.
Gotten in trouble. I've had to go to the office. No, she's kind of like me, where she's boisterous. She's social. You know, when I grew up, got a little bit. She's had detentions over it. But when it comes to the show and me, she's completely respectful. That makes me feel good that she's very respectful to me personally. That's a big deal for a mom.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, did your daughter ever talk about the show? Or?
Not for a while. No. Do you want me to lie and say, oh, yeah, she's like,
I love it when your daughter has brought up the show to you. I like that.
Yeah,
you know?
I make her listen to it sometimes, but it's not like she's a regular listener. But I like how she did come on too, but she hasn't come on for a while.
I know she hasn't.
Because they change. They change daily, monthly, and it's a big change. And that's a big change from being 11 and a half, 12 to 14 years old. When we just kind of stay the same and grow as people, they're actually really, really changing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, do you remember when I was me that got you that on-air sign. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember it. I love it. It's also working as a nightlight. So my neighbors probably think I'm on air all the time, 24/7, because they can see it through the window.
Is that what they say?
No, I don't talk to my neighbors.
Oh.
I don't know one of them. Well, I do. I know the Marine guy. He's cool. And he said, if you ever have any problems, just run to my door. But I made it like this on purpose. Because I have to stay to myself. The last place I lived for, not the last place, the last few places ago, I lived there for 5 or 6 years, and I was so nice to everybody when I came. Oh, my gosh. One big happy family. That's going to cause a lot of interruption, especially if you work out of your home. I counted it one day, literally 8 times I had a knock on my door, and that's disturbing because it breaks up your focus and you have to answer because they know you're home. Well, and you have to hear later, well, why didn't you answer? They know you've seen them. I did not want to live like that again because it absolutely was driving me insane living there with that going on. It was just horrible. I didn't like it. Nothing against people. Well, to my neighbors, nothing against neighbors. I just don't want that to happen again. And one time it happened, I've lived here 2 years, and we have barbecues and there's a pool, and sure, I'm nice then, but I don't tell them my apartment number, but obviously this guy saw where I went. He watched me and he saw my door and he knocked, well, because it's right in front of the basketball court, and so he saw me go home, and he knew I liked basketball or playing it, and then he came over to ask me if I wanted to play basketball. But he was so nervous, and his lips were quivering, and it was more than just wanting to play basketball. He wanted to be really close to me, get closer and get closer. And I just said, look, I can't have anybody knocking on my door. You seem like a very nice guy, but I just really don't like it. It's just wow. disturbing. And he never did again, and nobody else has either. And I love it. I love that about this place.
No. I mean, yeah, he actually asked you to play basketball?
Yeah, because that's where he met me on the basketball court. He was waiting to play, and then I said, oh, you can shoot some too while I do it. Oh, my gosh, I guess that he thought, ooh, I like him because I was sharing the basketball court. But I didn't like him, and I don't want knocks on my door. And I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I love people. I just don't want to be disturbed. I'm in here. This is my tranquil area. This is the place I call home where I don't want to be disturbed. I'm not like the old-fashioned people that like to have people knock on their door. Do you like it?
No. No, because I don't know these people well. I mean, I would rather meet someone on a walk, like, you know, somewhere, and then have them knock on the door. But...
Well,
but,
why? Why do you want them to know where you live to knock on your door later? Why not text
you
and meet them somewhere else for a coffee?
Yeah, it's just that's just the way I would rather do it. I mean, I think that it's like I've been out walking before, and like I'll see people, and then I'll be like, "Oh, is that your dog?" And you know, and this is actually a true story. I was out, and there was a guy, and he had a cavalier dog, like Elkie does. And I said, "Can I take its picture?" And he goes, "Okay," but I didn't have the ability to. I couldn't figure out where to get the camera on my iPhone. So he says, "Okay, well, I'll meet you in front of your house," and he knew where I was. And then I went over to this house and I took his picture. I mean, I live in, I think what it is the people that live in my neighborhood aren't really like in your face, if that makes sense. I mean, they're not going to.
They're probably like me.
Yeah, they're not going to like come over to where you are and bother you or anything. They're more likely to, just be off with themselves. But they are nice people. It's just that they're like, oh, hi. Oh yeah. You see my dog? Oh yeah. You know, I mean, that's really what they are. But, thank you for coming on, Barbara.
Oh, good.
And thank you for being my co-host and my best friend. Do you want to do the shout out?
Sure.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
I just posted something because I want to help out the people that have been guests on our show. And I saw that Deborah Driggs, because I am the administrator for the Playboy Playmate group page on Facebook, and she has a new weekly blog. And so I forwarded that to Life, Laughter, Happiness. And anytime I see a Playmate or a guest doing something special, they need a little help with and support and exposure with, I put it on Life, Laughter, Happiness group page on Facebook. So I want everybody to please make a point of going to our Facebook group page and enjoying that daily or from time to time when they get a chance. And also Twitter, Instagram, and go to our YouTube for all of our shows, Life, Laughter, Happiness, because Johnny uploads them after we do them live there. And you can listen to it again. And you know what? I would think that the callers, we have callers every Friday for Psychic Del Shear, and we give free readings out. I would think that they would want to hear their reading and listen to it again. Well, go there. Go to our Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube and subscribe, please. And that's about it. And just, watch for my Roku channel. I don't want to say watch for it and then it's not up yet. So, but it's exciting. And I just want to thank you for finding me, Johnny, wanting to have the chakra cleanse. Give that to me, the chakra cleanse, which we used to do. That's how I met you guys. And thank you for seeing the value in me and asking me to be a co-host. I appreciate that. It's been a great, great time, a wonderful experience. I value you. I value your friendship. I am grateful for you. And I want to say goodbye and also celebrate our, I'm going to say our, because you always say our, show, Life After Happiness, anniversary of 14 years.
All right.
And thank you all.
Good night, listeners. Everyone.
And thank you for our listeners and our callers that call in on Fridays. And don't forget to do that every Friday and talk to Psychic Ghost here. All right. Well, good night, everybody. And good night, Johnny. Bye-bye.